Welcome to Model Minority Moms, where we talk about the meaning of success in career, family, and life. We are Jeanette Park,
Kate Wong,
and Susan Liu,
Harvard classmates and Asian American working moms who get real about the pressures of fitting in while standing out.
Greetings, greetings. We're back for another episode of Model Minority Moms, and we are going to be talking about a thing that happens on the regular. Yes, birthday parties. What kind do we have growing up? How do we feel when we get invited to other kids' birthday parties? Thinking about planning for our own kids, the terror and the energy and the draining money that goes into it. Everyone, let's put on our birthday suits, blow up some balloons, and have some fun. All right, y'all, what was your birthday parties like growing up?
For our listeners, I was just telling them before we started recording, I just feel like sometimes talking about childhood is a little bit of a litany of sad stories. I'll go first. Speaking of sad stories, it wasn't really like a thing. So birthday parties, I honestly just don't even have that many memories. I think it also depended on where my family was financially and also in terms of how my parents were feeling. I don't know. Sorry, this is all very sad. I don't know. And I'm like, am I embarrassed? I'm not really embarrassed, but it is sad. And like a couple of kids over who just lived in the same apartment complex as us, maybe we would have a cake from the Korean bakery or something. Or I think like some years there was no party. Maybe there was just like a cake at dinner or something. And that was it. My parents also just weren't really big into gifts. I think both like culturally, personality wise, but also financially, like they just couldn't afford it. It's very sad to say, but I just don't have a lot of memories of birthday parties. Like, I can't even really remember one single birthday party that I had growing up. And then I went off to boarding school for high school. Like, I wasn't home for my birthday after I was like, I guess 13. 13 was the last birthday that I had at home. When I was 13, I was in seventh grade. No. I think 14 was the last birthday party I had at home. And then my mom would often she would send me like some care packages around the time of my birthday. Maybe she would send me a sweater and some food that I like to eat. But there was no party. I feel like I probably do more for my birthday now as an adult than I did as a kid. So that's the slightly sad, honest truth. Yeah. That's what it was.
So wait, so then you go to boarding school and it's your birthday. Do your friends throw you a party? And you're like, what is this anthropological experience?
No, I don't think that there were like friend parties, but we would have these house counselors who were essentially teachers at the school who also lived in the housing, the student housing with the students. Often their families also live there as well. I do think that they would have batched birthdays, basically. Everybody who had a birthday on this month, they would bake a cake and we would have cake together. I don't know. Is it just sad? I'm like, maybe I was just so sad about it that I just blocked them out of my memory. But I just don't remember a whole lot about any birthdays really before I was in college. Like I had more people around me who were celebrating it with me. Or then I started dating Jake and he made more of an effort to note it. Yeah, I think up to that point, it really wasn't a big thing. It would come and go. So yeah, big sad face.
That's so sad.
I know. It's so sad, right? And I think Christmas and other holidays were also similar. Yeah, it was like a money thing. And my parents just weren't in a state of mind to really do stuff. They were often busy with work or they were going through their own conflict. Maybe they would be fighting or whatever. It's sad. I feel like my kids' birthdays are way different.
I wonder how much part of that is, can I group pan-Asian cultural into this? Like when you're 100 days old, because that means you didn't die from an illness. And maybe when you're like 1 year old and then when you hit 60 and then 70, 80, 90, 100, like you get seven birthdays. Like that's how I feel how it is for Vietnamese people. And it wasn't personal, but it felt very personal to me as a kid. I'm just wondering, in Korean Chinese, is that also about the same?
Yeah, I guess I didn't necessarily even remember feeling, I don't know, maybe I did feel sad about it, but then I just suppressed it because I was really just life and I had no other options. But I think a part of it is cultural because in Korean culture, yes, you have the 100 days, you have the 1 year, the tol, and then you have your 60 because you went five times around the zodiac calendar. And I remember having a big birthday for my grandmother where extended family was invited and we were
it's
at
like a
restaurant.
Wedding.
Yeah, it's like a wedding, basically. But even for other family members, I don't really remember having big birthdays. And basically, your mom would cook you myeokguk, like seaweed soup, on your birthday. And the other thing is, in Korean culture traditionally, and this has actually recently switched, but you actually don't gain 1 year on your birthday. You actually gain 1 year with everybody else on the new year.
Yeah, same historically in China as well, up until modern times. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really weird because
it's like a communal birthday. Basically.
Yeah, it's like a communal birthday. And you also you're already one when you're born. So you're one when you're born, and then you add another year at the new year. So if you're born towards the end of the Western calendar year, then you're essentially two. You could be two before you're even 1 month old. So I think there's a cultural element of it as well, where birthdays don't really mean the same thing as in Western culture. I don't know. I mean, if I had to assign percentages, it's half cultural and half just the dysfunction of my family. But that's how it was growing up.
That is so sad.
I know, it's so sad.
It's sad. Thinking about little Jeanette.
Yeah. I'm excited we get to celebrate your birthday soon.
So oh, yes.
That will be fun.
We're going out to dinner, everyone.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
All right, Kate, did you sing Happy Birthday or did you also sing Lonesome Birthday?
More like the latter, but okay. So I also, like Jeanette, basically didn't really have birthday parties growing up. And in the early days, it was like a function of my parents were poor graduate students. And then later on, I think it's just cultural. My family isn't big for celebrating anybody's birthdays. We don't do Christmas. Well, actually, my mom is now into like decorating for Christmas. We're not big gifters. However, the main difference, I think, with Jen is I don't feel sad about it because I don't think my parents denied me any birthday parties per se. I also just wasn't super interested in having a Yeah, I know. You should see Susan's eyes just went round to saucers.
What?
I don't know. You guys know this. I didn't really have many friends before college, which people never believe, but it's true. Fact, if you ask my parents, I was very in my own world and I didn't have a lot of friends. But it wasn't because I really wanted friends that I couldn't make friends. I just like reading. I would just literally sit at home and read all day. Not a joke. And so I just didn't even have people I really wanted to invite, even if I could have a birthday party. I think maybe in high school, I had like a birthday gathering once or twice. I don't even remember. So that tells you how unmemorable it was. But I don't feel like it was sad per se. It's just I would celebrate with my family in other ways, being, I don't know, around Chinese New Year. Although my parents never gave me red envelopes either. So I guess the family, we just weren't like a holiday celebration type of family. Although ironically now with the kids, my parents do that more. So I think it was just a family culture thing for my family, right? We just didn't really celebrate stuff, any kind of stuff, like birthdays. I don't think birthdays were like targeted at not being celebrated. I think just in general, we didn't really celebrate these things. And I think that's passed on to me. I describe myself as a Grinch. I just really don't like decorating for the holidays. I'm not really into the holiday spirit. Again, it's not because I feel sorry for myself. I don't. I'm just not really into it. Yeah. So I was very shocked when I went off to college. You know, I dated some people whose family made a huge deal out of birthdays. It was a cultural shock for me. We can go into that later, but
Yes. Okay. I had a totally different experience. which was, I think my parents would just hope that the birthday went by. But if I brought it up.
You wouldn't notice?
Yeah. Yeah. Because they would bring it up. And then I would bring it up like maybe 2 or 3 weeks in advance and be like, hey, it's my birthday.
Maybe they were planning a surprise for you, Susan.
I don't think so.
They had four kids, though.
The years I didn't ask, there was no surprise party. Okay. So I would ask. They'd say no. And then I'd say, please, and it wouldn't stop. And then finally they were like, fine, but you do all the work. So I still remember my third grade birthday party.
Like you plan, but then they pay.
Kids don't have money. So yeah. I would make all the invitations with my sister. I would hand them out to people. We'd select the date and time. And then I still have this picture that someone, an old childhood friend on Facebook, gave me a copy of it. I'm like, so excited. It's third grade. This is the summer before we're going to move from the Bay Area to Northern California. So maybe they were like, oh, this is Susan's last birthday party with her friends. And it was like maybe 8 or 9 people came over to our house. But really, and my mom made all this food and also bought all this food from this local Vietnamese deli that we go to. There's a whole bunch of other Vietnamese people in the background because my mom loved big gatherings. She was always an epicenter wherever she went. It was like we were having another big party, except it happened to be one involving cake and candles. Do you get what I'm saying? It was like a merged event.
Do you feel like she kind of hijacked it?
No. I was like, this is great food. My friends thought it was great food. And we blew up some water balloons and threw them at each other. And there was a piñata. It was great. But I had to ask every time I wanted it. But the thing is, at our house, maybe 3 times a year, we would have big blowout parties. Lunar New Year, And then some other times, people just would always come to our house and there would be karaoke and their food. And I think my mother's disposition was that she liked to have gatherings, and I also still like having gatherings. So that's instilled in me. And then after she passed, I would organize my own parties. I got to tell you the story. So growing up, I loved Ross Dress for Less. I just love the deals. And we get to go there like every back to school fall time to get a little money and buy new clothes. But I would always go to the stationery aisle, and I found this like weird colonial artwork address book. It was like medieval or colonial. It was like so weird. It was a weird painting. And I was like, oh my God, it's an address book. I love it. So when I went to middle school, if I thought you were my friend, I'd ask you for your phone number. And I would write it in pencil just in case there was a change.
Oh my gosh.
And
Susan.
Every time I had a birthday party, or if I was doing like a canned food drive at school or whatever, I would like literally start at A and start calling. I would call and invite everybody to my birthday party.
Wow.
How Susan is, she just came out that way. I mean, this is just how you are.
When I started, when I was 6 years old, my mom had me confirm all the nail salon appointments. I'm used to calling people on the phone. Always be closing.
ABC.
I write about that in the memoir. She was like, okay, you're ready. I'm like, ready for what? I'm like sweating. I'm sweating because I'm so scared that someone's actually going to pick up the phone. I can leave a message, but once they pick up the phone, I'm so nervous. What if I say the wrong number? Or I'm 6 years old confirming appointments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're the best English speaker in your household. Then we can probably just do a whole episode on that.
Right.
Anyways.
You're responsible. But also, my mom's also delegating, right? She's, we can leave the shop faster if Susan's doing that. I wasn't tall enough to push the vacuum at six. Anyways. So then in seventh, and I remember there's this big birthday party in ninth grade. I had boys over. And like my dad was, I was like a big deal. And my dad was like pretty tense about it. But I remember I got all these presents and it was so exciting. It felt so popular and amazing. And then it all went pretty downhill from there. Yeah. I mean, I feel like with birthdays, as I got older, it's been a day for me to justify, like, I can have what I want. I can have a day of my own choosing. Actually saying that to myself is very weird. And I'm like, why don't I say that to myself all the time? There's something around the wanting to deserve things on your birthday that is so significant to me mentally. I mean, I never got like the really fancy birthday parties. Maybe there was one at Chuck E. Cheese one year. I don't remember. Maybe it was a good year for our nail salon. Maybe not. So yeah, if I had a birthday party, I had to ask and do as much of the legwork as possible.
Question for you, Susan, because you have three siblings.
Yes.
What was the birthday treatment for them versus you? And also curious, Jeanette, for your brother.
Yeah, I was thinking
about your parents' attitude is different. I have nothing to compare it because I'm an only child.
I think my sister just probably also organized her own, but she didn't do the phone book method. I think that she had some select friends she invited over.
I guess what I mean, there's no favoritism. No overt favoritism among your siblings is two. Let's say one sibling was more favored by parents, get birthday or whatever. Get birthday.
Oh,
party.
I don't think so. But I don't think my brothers cared about it. Maybe it was more like, Mom, give me $40 and I'm going to go out with my friends. I've actually never asked them. This would be a great question to ask them. I don't know what happened on their birthdays. When you're a kid, you're excited about your birthday party.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, got to plan this birthday party. Do you remember those dot matrix printers that would go?
Yeah. Yeah, with like the little holes on the side because yeah. That's how they reel the paper.
Yeah. So then when I got the go ahead, it would be my birthday as if it wouldn't go ahead. My sister and I would print out like a 6 or 8 foot long banner that said happy birthday with the letters all in blocks. And then we would take a long time to like color it so that we'd have a banner. That's what I remember. But anyways, was there any favoritism with you, Jeanette, and your brother?
I think when we were younger, I don't remember it being like that different. I think maybe on balance, it was like he got a little bit more stuff. Maybe it was a little bit more of a thing where he got like a bike one year. That's another. He like got a bike. My parents like never bought me a bike. So I learned how to ride on like my brother's bike. It became a little bit more pronounced, I think, when we were in our teenage years. I think you could tell the story about I was away for school and he wasn't. And there were a lot of things that I had questions about. My parents were also just in a much more stable financial footing by then. Oh, like leaving the house and allowing a party to take place with some beverages for underage people, like at my parents' house, and that was like implicitly condoned for a birthday party or like a car. There were just like some things that I don't know what it would have been like had I still been at home. It probably would not have looked like that. But yeah, I think generally there was like a little bit of, yes, I think there is sexism on how my parents treated me and my brother. I think it really even started from birth. Like when my, this is a total aside, but when my brother is the second and my dad is the first boy in his line and my grandfather is the first. So my brother is like, he's like the eldest male line.
That, oh, and it's not Changnam?
Changsun is like the eldest son. So when she was gave birth to me, apparently she had like trouble breastfeeding and she gave up on breastfeeding early. It's fine. I'm fine. That did not harm me in any material way. But when my brother and my grandfather found out it was a boy, he basically just force fed her like all this rich food for the whole time of her pregnancy. So that by the time he came out, my mom, her boobs were just so gorged with milk. And my brother was like breastfed for like over a year. I do think in my family in general, there was like a certain amount of sexism, I would say, in the way that my brother and I were treated. Again, it's one of those things I'm like, do I actually have some large reservoir of untapped resentment there? Maybe. I don't really feel it right now. I think the way that I basically just dealt with it was like, I'm just going to work way harder to get the things that I want. I felt like it was like a waste of energy to complain to my parents about it. Or it was just like the whole shebang, right? Like my parents' dysfunction, our financial situation, the inequities with my brother paled in comparison with those other things, right? And I think for much of like my childhood into my mid-20s was just about a single-minded focus of I want to be able to call my own shots. I want to be able to run my own life. All of my energies and efforts were just going to be concentrated on school and my work so that I could have those things. And I don't even need to like get permission from anyone to do it. Yeah, sexism there. It really was in the magnitude of how much it affected my life. I feel like it was smaller than some of these other things, that other challenges that I felt like I was trying to overcome. It was different. It was definitely different.
Dang. We are talking about birthday parties, everybody.
Yeah. I don't think with my parents, sorry, Susan, not to draw comparisons, but just for like my parents, I think maybe begging and whining would have worked for my brother. It just would not have worked for me doing that to my parents. We also have very different personalities, so I think that's another factor, but it just wasn't really something that would have flown from me to my parents, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think positionally being the youngest of four versus the eldest is one thing.
Yeah.
And then maybe just like socially how the family interacts with, like we had parties a lot at our house.
It's oh yeah.
Different.
Yeah, and actually my parents did too. My dad was very social, but it was just never around the kids.
Oh. It
was like never around kids' birthdays, the social stuff. It was like more around church or random adult get-togethers where the kids just happened to be there. It was just more like that than it was about kids' birthday parties where, you know, in our social circles, kids' birthday parties run like parents' calendars.
Let's fast forward to, hey, you're a parent now and you've got to plan your kids' birthday party. Okay, let's do some quick questions here. First one. Is a party for your kid or is a party for you? Are you like, I'm going to like invite all of my kids' true friends? Or you're like, I'm going to invite some of their friends, whatever, throw in a puppy for them to touch. And then I'm going to invite all my friends because it's like, I'm trying to win back my social time in my life. Do you center your kid in it? Or is it just, this is a part of life and I'm going to make it as joyful as possible for myself?
Well, it's definitely not about me. If it were up to me, I don't know. I just have a little cake at home with the kids and not have a giant party.
Then who is it up to?
Society. I'm susceptible to social norms, okay? I'm like, that's why I'm an ambivert, guys. I'd rather just stay at home with my kids and just eat a little cake and have a little birthday. But then I feel this pull of this sort of like societal norm of having like a little something. And then also my daughter does actually have older one friends. Right? So I think we should also state like these party, how one's attitude towards birthday parties could vary depending on the age of the child.
Yeah.
So unfortunately for my older daughter, she turned one during the pandemic. So we had a Zoom birthday party, which is sad, but whatever. You can't really do anything about that. And then for her second birthday party, it was like also a Zoom birthday party because it was still toward the end of the pandemic and people. And then when she turned three, I feel like three is really when children start having, these are my friends. There's some preschool drama, whatever. And so I actually was happy. It's because these are the kids that we see anyway. Like, I guess it is for her. She likes having her friends over. But I don't feel like I need to invite all the friends from school because, I don't know, to make a statement or anything. You know, I just want her to have fun.
Yeah.
So is it usually at your house?
Yes. So the one we had for her birthday party was Hello Kitty themed because at the time she was obsessed with Hello Kitty. And I have to thank Jeanette for giving me the advice once that don't get your kid too much stuff if they're obsessed with something, because at some point when you get them too much, they move on to something else. So now she's like beyond Hello Kitty. But anyway, at the time, she's really into Hello Kitty. And I was like, you know, I felt guilty. I don't know if you guys felt this because, you know, Ruth was born during COVID and then Art was born during COVID. So Raya didn't really have any like birthday things because she isn't aware of a Zoom birthday party, right? So I felt like I needed to give her something nice, right? So I ordered this ridiculous Hello Kitty face cake that was like this big guy. It was like 2 feet across, but Hello Kitty face fondant. So the whole thing, it was Hello Kitty's face and fondant. And I ordered these Hello Kitty balloons. I wanted to have a good time. I had a boba bar. She was obsessed with the boba, but then she threw up 9 times that night. But I think that was because she coincidentally had norovirus.
Oh.
I don't know. I can't tell if it's boba or norovirus or both. But anyway.
Boba virus.
Boba virus. I digress. So I'm happy. That specific party I think is unusual though, because, you know, there was all this like not having birthday parties for 2 years. And then she's turned 3 when she actually has friends. And we kept it small. What's interesting, and I want to mention this, I'd be curious to know what the policy from your kids' schools or daycares is, that for Raya's school, every kid's birthday, when it's during the school year, is celebrated and parents are asked to bring in basically party favors for all the kids in the class. They were like, oh my God, there are like 24 kids in Raya's class. So I'm actually more stressed out about gathering party favors for her school than I was about like doing this like party at home with 5 of her friends and their family.
That's an interesting request. I've never heard that, where they're like, bring in favors.
Well, you don't have to. Okay. So no one's like forcing you to. Oh, there's like a suggested
more societal norms.
Yeah. If you would like to celebrate your child's birthday, but then it sucks. Of course you have to, because most of the kids celebrate their birthday. So you can imagine it's like a 2.5, 3-year-old. All your friends are having birthdays at school. They do this cute Montessori thing where like you walk around in a circle and it's like how many years you are, you walk how that many times in a circle. It's like how
around the sun.
Around the sun, and you sing a little song. And so if you've seen your classmates get that treatment and you don't get it because your parents like ain't with it, then that sucks. So fine. I was happy to do that.
Whoa. What do you put in your goodie bags?
Okay. So I did put a lot of thought into the goodie bags because I was like, I'd gotten so many goodie bags from school at that point. I was like, some of this stuff is like crap. I'm sorry, but I don't want to go on an Amazon and buy all this like plastic crap to fill in the goodie bags just for the sake of it. So I was like, what is useful? So then, and I was like, also Hello Kitty theme. So I bought a Hello Kitty face mask for everybody.
Face mask for their very young skin?
But I mean, you know, they're masking.
COVID mask, not like skincare. Susan thought like skincare mask. You bought like little Hello Kitty toddler skincare masks. That's what she thought.
That's a good business idea.
Their skin is so supple.
Okay, I didn't think that. No, that kind of face mask, not like Korean skincare face mask. Hello Kitty band-aids. Band-aids are always useful. They were a Cost Plus World Market had these Hello Kitty senbei rice crackers. It's not Hello Kitty shape, but like the wrapper had Hello Kitty on it. And then the Asian grocery app had these Hello Kitty packaged like wafer rolls or something.
You
like that.
Spent at least 6 hours and probably $200.
And then 25 of these bags. Then they encourage you, optional, but of course it's not really optional, to like bring in a treat, right? But then they're like something relatively healthy. And then they give you like examples. So I was like, oh, like I got to bring in something healthy. What did I do? Not anything. Oh, I made a tangerine cake. So I bought a ton of tangerines from Costco. And then like I used toothpicks to create tangerines in like a little pyramid type thing that looks like a cake. And then I bought like frozen fruit that was like covered in dark chocolate or something like that. So relatively healthy, but still kind of like a treat.
Oh my God. Did the teacher give you an A?
No. Nope. It's an A for doing what's basically mandatory, but not really. Right? Everybody does for their kids' birthdays at her school.
Did you enjoy this process or did you hate it? Or was it
you? Was fine.
Your inner child stuff?
Okay, so there was Hello Kitty themed. It was like fine. But I think that caused me a little bit more like stress than the actual like birthday party we had at home. Because I was like, oh, I want this to be meaningful, but I don't want to be. It's like the Seattle thing. I don't want to put plastic crap in there, but I don't want to spend like that much money. I was just like, Anyway, it was fine. And I appreciate that. I do think it's nice that they have these things for the kids. And it's interesting because a bunch of my friends have their kids go to this other school. And that other school's policy is very interesting. I'm curious if your kids' schools have this policy. Basically, if you have a birthday party outside of school, they ask you to invite everybody in your class so as to not leave your classmates feeling left out.
No, my kids' school does not have that. That's generally,
this
I
is
think
a private school.
Yeah. That's what we've tried to do, unless... Or at least like the kids like in his age cohort, because before going to kindergarten, he was in a mixed age class. So it's generally there were kids like who were younger, maybe 2.5 to 3.5, who he kind of interacted with, but not really. And they also had like less idea of what was going on. And then the older kids who were like 3.5 to 5.5, who actually would notice. So then we would try to invite all the kids in that older cohort.
That's really nice. I guess we just couldn't invite 25 kids to our house. But everybody that was invited to our house, all the kids, were either her classmates that she really liked or like her former classmates that she liked. And we are also friends with all the parents.
Yeah.
For us, I had a lot of fun. It was basically my friend plus her friend. So it was like a nice mingling of the two. And all the parents basically also knew each other too, because their kids had either still went to school or used to go to school with each other. So I think that was really nice. I was very happy about that birthday party. But now I feel like somewhat pressure because as the kids get older, I feel like things get more elaborate. So we just went to a birthday party at this fun place called Pump It Up. Have you guys heard of this? It's like a inflatable play structures indoors. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, maybe next year, should I pump it up? Get it? It's a birthday? I don't know. Honestly, I think it's all new to me. Like I mentioned, we didn't really do this stuff when I was a kid. So I'm really trying to find a balance for myself, right? Because my parents didn't do it. I don't really believe in huge birthday parties myself, but I also don't want to be like a Grinch for my kids because I feel like it's fun for them to have feel special that day and to hang out with their friends. And so I think I'm still figuring it out, like the balance for our family. Because I think I mentioned earlier that what came as a big shock to me when I started dating people who were like white American is that, so one of my ex-boyfriends, I'm sure he's never going to listen to this podcast, so it's fine. His family is like from the Chicago suburbs. And like every birthday party that I went to for these kids who are like 2, 3, 4, they each had 50 presents, like an insane amount of presents. The parents spent a lot of money to rent giant blow up play whatever structures. And it was just very elaborate. I don't know. To me, it felt like such a huge culture shock. And I think maybe that sounds weird or exaggerated to people who are more used to these growing up. But to me, I was just frankly really shocked. Like I came back home and I was talking to some of my other Asian American friends and I was like, I don't understand. These kids are like 2 or 3. Like they can't possibly understand all this stuff. To me, it went beyond just like celebrating a birthday. I felt like it was cultural, right? All the families did this. And it wasn't like they were rich, by the way, not at all. My ex-boyfriend's parents were like working class, but it was like a cultural thing in that place where they grew up to have these ginormous birthday parties, tons of gifts. I was like, I've never gotten so many gifts, like even across maybe 5 birthdays. So maybe there's a little bit of value judgment in there, but it was also a value judgment from a place of, I don't identify with these values. I feel like it's encouraging this sort of expectation from a young age that these kids should just get used to getting lots of presents. And then on a couple of occasions, the kids would be like, I didn't get this thing that I wanted. I'm like, dude, you just got 50 fucking presents. Why are you complaining? You're like 5. Sorry, I sound so judgmental, but I can't help it because I don't know if you guys have felt this way or maybe I'm just a Grinch or something, but I don't know. It was just really hard for me to accept that. We can dissect it. Maybe it can be a therapy session, but yeah.
I think I saw a New York Times article that was like, people in LA and New York City, like really rich people, are spending like $60,000 on their kids' birthday parties. It becomes more and more elaborate because it is about keeping up with the Joneses, right? It's wealth signaling.
Yeah, that was what weird to me is that they weren't affluent.
Yeah, but even in non-affluent communities, and sometimes I think even more in non-affluent communities, honestly, like there's keeping up with Joneses dynamic in every class. So yeah, I think that there is like a certain amount of that where, I don't know, I think there's like a good part of that. I don't think it's all bad in the sense that I think you're also creating, okay, this is a positive interpretation of it where one family is spending money to create a space where other people can come and spend time together and do fun things. And sometimes money can help with that. So that's more the positive spin of it. But yeah, I think there is this other side of it where it's like, I have to keep up with my neighbors. I want to make my kid feel special. And if he or she doesn't have the same things that their friends do, they might not feel good or their friends might look at them a certain way. And so I think that there's that dynamic as well.
Jeanette, let's shift the focus over to you and your kids and your birthday parties. Like, what's your approach in all of this? Is it like, my objective is to maximize my kids' happiness today? Or is it like, okay, I'm going to merge all the communities that we're in touch with. And this is just like a touch point during the year where we all convene together and I invite every single person I know. Like, how do you think about it?
I think for the 1 year birthday, the toy, that is more like a community thing. Also, because the kid has no idea, they don't have any real friends. It's more about the grownups and the parents' community. And I think that's also very cultural. It's about the family and the family community. But I think COVID lockdown happened 2 weeks before his birthday. So I think we were going to have a birthday party, but then we had to cancel everything. And we just had cake at home. But I remember him being super happy. We got him some presents and he was like thrilled. Same thing for his third birthday. We were still in the middle of quarantining, lockdown, all of that. So same thing. And then he turned 4 and we did do a little bit more of a blowout party where we like rented a play space and we got pizza. We got a Costco cake. It was $20 for like a huge sheet cake. And we had a superhero theme where like all his friends came dressed as superheroes and they were running around this indoor playground. And so I feel like his 5th birthday was like a little scaled down from that, but not that much. And then for my daughter, well, I think we just kept it small until her last birthday, which was when she turned 3 and had more of a sense of what was going on. And we asked her because she saw Isaiah having these birthday parties with his friends. I'm like, do you want something like that? I am like a little bit sensitive to making sure that they feel they're at parity with each other. But she like insisted multiple times over multiple weeks that she didn't want a friend's birthday party. She only wanted a family birthday party. And actually, she's more extroverted than my son. But she said she wanted to go to the aquarium with family members and our au pair and to go see the otters. And she wanted a birthday party at home with a chocolate birthday cake. She had like other some things. But she just wanted a day with family, basically, with cake. So that's what we did. And she was super happy. And at this point, it is about the kid and just trying to give them an experience where they feel celebrated, that this is their day. And we did something that they wanted and it was about them. I mean, yeah, renting the play space and all of that, that can get expensive. Definitely. Yeah. Feeding, you know, let's say like 15 friends and their parents can get pretty expensive. There's no like hard and fast rule, but it's just like trying to keep the balance between, hey, we want it to be nice and we want Isaiah to feel celebrated and we want his friends to have a good time. But like, we also don't want it to go crazy, like overboard. But yeah.
And also where to put the money. I can't tell you guys how much I spent on that Hello Kitty cake. I just won't.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say next year I won't be spending that money on the cake.
Fondant cakes are so beautiful, but they're not tasty.
I'll send you guys a photo. Exactly. Raya's friend grandma made a much more delicious cake, obviously for free, that everybody ate. And like nobody ate the Hello Kitty cake. I'll text you guys the price. I'm too embarrassed to mention it on this podcast. Yeah. You guys will know how ridiculous it
is. But it was a really great photo. I'm sure it was a great photo, right?
Yes, correct. But that's all it was.
I think there is like an aspect of it too, where you're like, as a mom, it's like the status signaling of how much money did you spend on this party. But then there's another dimension of it, which is the Martha Stewart status thing, right? I don't even know. We need to put a name to it. Is there a name for this? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, how well organized you are or like coordinated. Yeah. Instagram-y.
Yeah. How Instagram-y is it, right? Like how involved is the theme?
Here, I'll have to text you guys the photos. You tell me what mom I am.
Maybe it's like a grade of thoughtfulness.
Yeah. And craftiness. And I feel like there is a competitiveness along that dimension too. And it's a little bit independent from the money thing. It's somewhat correlated, but independent. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We need a name for that thing because there's definitely a competitiveness along that dimension. Like for Isaiah's 5th birthday, we did a pirate theme and I drew a map of the place. And then I like hid these different little cardboard treasure boxes for the kids to go and find it because Isaiah was really into maps and pirates during the time. And it was like also a total shit show because it was hard for them to read the map. And like you just have 15 kids running around this play space. And then once they find the box, it's like Lord of the Flies who gets like the stuff out. But anyway, it's like that kind of thing, right? But we don't have a good name for it. And I feel like it's not well understood.
Okay, I'm going to propose one. Have you ever heard the word zhuzh? Like you want to zhuzh it up?
Oh, yeah. Like food, like zhuzh it up with some truffle oil or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Or like, put some little flags and shit on it.
Like, is that a real word in English or a different language?
I don't know how to spell it. But I don't know. Okay, we have to look that up. But we're just brainstorming. Okay, but yeah, Jeanette, I hear what you're saying is like, how much element of pizzazz and wow and interestingness did you put into something to make it very unique and tailored to your child?
Yeah, in a way that your child probably honestly doesn't even notice, right?
Because yeah.
Anyway, Susan, your turn.
I am all about hosting stuff at my house, but Marvin is not. When I have people over at the house, I'll be like, oh, Marvin, my friend's stopping by, you know, whatever, just going to have some wine. He will make an elaborate plan to all of a sudden go to the gym that day and go take himself out to dinner and not come home. Marvin does not like people in her house. It's also like Art's birthday's in March, so it'll be like totally raining. And then the layout of the house, I think it fits plenty of people. He thinks it only fits our family. So basically using our house as a venue, killed, cannot do it. And then his next order of priority is minimizing work and minimizing cleanup. Like that is all he cares about. So then I like researched all these different play spaces and it's, each kid is like $20, $30 a head. Okay.
Does that include food?
No, not necessarily.
Oh, okay. That seems like a lot.
No, we went to the same place.
Okay.
Didn't you go to Playdate Seattle?
Yeah, but it's not, I don't think it was that much.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Maybe. Okay, whatever.
Okay, okay.
Anyways, average it out. Most of these places are $25 a head. And then if you hit a certain cap, then maybe it's 20 or something. The point here is you can't just invite an infinite number of kids. If you're really doing the whole classroom, say it was 20 kids. I was like, I don't know. You gotta get choosy. So anyways, I set the date and time. Marvin has no opinion, but he doesn't really care. I don't know why I even ask him questions. I should just do it myself. Finally organize it. People come. I just feel like all the parents are just sitting there waiting for their kids to be done. And it's just like another thing on their schedule. I don't know. I feel sadness around it.
Oh, around, like, sad.
No, the like the loss of adulthood. And so what I did is I was like, Marvin, let's have an open bar. So we opened the tab and I was just told all the adults. I was like, feel free to get whatever you want to drink. And I started with a beer, kind of like looking at all the parents being like, are you going to drink alcohol or not? Are we evil? Are we irresponsible? And then that was the birthday party. Art had a great time. And then there was like great snacks. I don't know. I need to figure out how we feel about presents, okay? Because Marvin was like, tell everyone no presents. I was like, but I like presents. And I was like, that's like the fun part. He's, I don't want more stuff in the house. Marvin's also a minimalist, okay? But I'm like, see, wait, this is where I'm like, who's the party for? So I wrote, I was like, whatever, I got to honor Marvin. Dumb idea. And then I told everyone that. And then a couple parents were like, oh, we already bought something. Should I return it? I'm like, no, bring it. Because Art's still going to like the present.
Yeah, I think we've just left it open. I've been getting a lot of invites that says, please don't bring presents. And if they say, please don't bring presents, then I will pretty much, sorry, if there's fellow parents listening to our podcast, I will take it literally. I will not get a present unless there's something that is very specific to your child that I feel like, oh, I absolutely need to get it for them. So I will take it pretty literally.
Why wouldn't you take it literally?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you why, because I've been to plenty of birthday parties where it's no presents and they're presents anyway. And then I'm like, yes. Oh, no, should I have brought a present?
Yeah, but I just try to. I also witnessed that, but I just tried not to feel bad about it because I'm like, the parents, maybe they literally don't have a lot of stuff at their house. They don't want more stuff. And I am taking them at their word, which is what I think adults should do more of. Especially as Asian Americans, right? Where there's such a culture of like, a no once is actually a yes.
Yes.
So I think I'm just trying to like more move towards, if this person said they don't want something, then I'm going to take them at their word, which is they don't want anything. We're going to show up. We're going to have a great time. We're going to contribute to the party in that way. For our kids' birthday parties, I think we just left it open. I don't think we expect presents. I don't think we want people to feel obligated to bring presents, but we also are like, okay, if people want to bring presents.
It's a birthday party.
Isaiah usually enjoys them. And sometimes we discover great new books or great new games or toys through these presents that we don't know about. So I think it's great. But we also don't want people to feel obligated to bring anything. So anyway, that's what we've done.
I was going to say about the whole presents thing, I think it's a two-way street, right? Because I'm thinking the reason I feel like why some of these kids' birthday parties I go to, they, even though they say no presents, if a lot of the attendees are like Chinese, I can't speak for other ethnicities, but I feel like also I was raised to be like, if you go to someone's home, even if you know that person, you have to bring something. So even to this day, if I go to a friend's house and they're a good friend, I'll be like, hey, can I bring something? And Nerva's like, oh, why? Like, we see them all the time. I'm like, because it's like ingrained in me, right? So I wonder if some of it is the birthday person's parents are actually genuine and saying, please, no gifts. But then the attendees, because of how they were raised, or maybe it's like a cultural thing, they feel like they just can't show up. Like, my mom is one of those people, for sure. She can't show up somewhere without like a gift or something for somebody.
She cannot show up empty handed.
Exactly. Exactly. And I feel like I've gotten some of that from her. Although generally with the presents thing, like if it's a good friend, the other day we went to Raya's friend's birthday party and the parents are good friends with us. And I texted the mom being like, hey, what should I get for, you know, insert name? And she's like, oh, he has tons of stuff. Don't worry, just come. I was like, okay, fine. And most of the attendees, there were like variations of Asian and there were definitely some gifts there, but I didn't feel bad because I'm like, oh, we're good friends. She's obviously not going to hold against me. I bet some of these people felt like they had to bring presents because the whole cultural whatever thing, right? So anyway, there's that component there too.
If there's nothing written, then I'm like, cool. I text the parent and then say, do you have a wish list? Is there something your kid is into? Are you guys taking like a gymnastics class or a swim class that I could pay for one class?
Oh, that's a good one.
I just don't want more things in the world that especially the kid's not going to be into it there in their closet clutter, or yes. Maybe they're going to re-gift it and somehow hope that there's some probability that some other kid is into XYZ item. I just don't like the waste element of it and guessing what the kid is into because the parent's going to know, right?
Yeah.
And if they say, please no gifts, I'm like, cool, done. You know?
Can I tell you guys one thing that I've been doing, which my kids don't listen to the podcast, so they'll never find out until they're old and not caring.
Oh, by then the technology is going to be so different and like refurbish this or something. Okay, keep going.
I have like a plastic bin in a closet where some of the, especially goodie bag things, if there's something that they immediately like and grab it out and they're playing with it, that's fine. But the rest of it, I just put it in there. It's like a random assortment of goodie bag things, just like 5 items from Jeanette's goodie bag container.
Where you give it to your kid or you give it to the attendees?
No. I give it to the attendees. These are all like new things. Erasers. My kids have so many erasers and they barely use them. And straws or like little knickknacks. I do the same thing with like Easter egg stuff. So if it's not edible, I will just let the kids open it because they love like the surprise element of opening it. But then they also forget about it. So then I just put it into a big plastic bin out of sight, out of mind. And then we can just reuse it for next Easter or reuse it for whatever the next thing is where I need to like fill up a little bag with some things.
But can we even talk about why are we filling up a bag with little things? I personally feel guilty that I'm not doing it. But Marvin's like, that's just like cheap crap in the world. I totally agree with him. But I also feel extreme guilt that I'm not doing it because growing up, when I went to other kids' birthday parties, goodie bags were super fun. I didn't even care. It was just fun of like a little, just like little weird things. But why? Why are we still doing this? And am I going to be that very sterile parent that hands out toothbrushes and apples? Why? Because they're kids and don't take that away from them?
I don't think you need to do goodie bags. I feel like they're optional. The other thought that occurred to me is that goodie bags should be like a lot smaller because, you know what I mean? There's like the standard lunch bag size ones and I just feel like they're so big. You need to then get at least 5 items to fill them up. And yes, you don't need to get goodie bags. I don't know. I feel like that's more on the optional side of the spectrum.
Okay. I think it's optional.
But you still do it.
I did it for the school because that was like the suggestion. I don't think I did it. I didn't do it for the home party. If I do it, I feel like I want the things in there to be practical and meaningful, not just like I said, some random plasticky things. So like generally the best thing is like edible stuff. But then I also don't like it when sometimes like the goodie bags are filled with junk edible stuff, right? I'm not like one of those everything must be like organic, whatever, like some interesting foods, like a variety of foods, not just like candy and
yeah,
whatever.
So it's blow pops, charm rings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even with those, I'll let the kids grab it from the pinata, put it in the bag, and then they'll play with the bag, but they will eat probably like one piece of the candy and then
throw it out.
Yeah. I have this process first. I'll move it into the closet. So then if they decide to look for it, I'm like, oh, it's still here. It's like in the closet. But like 70% of the time, they don't even ask for it. Eventually, it'll go into the bin of Jeanette's grab bag bin. Or if it's like perishable, then yeah, it might just go in the trash.
Oh.
Or if it's close to Halloween, it'll go in the Halloween bucket.
I will never eat candy from your house. Today, I was cleaning up and I'm just like little items everywhere. I want it all to go away. And I just wish we didn't participate in this thing. But it's very normal and exciting for children. Wait, can we go back to please no gifts? Do you think it's like a class signaling thing?
You mean like no gifts is people who like can afford to not have gifts? So
yeah, I can say that. And I'm going to say that because I don't even want your gifts. We got plenty of gifts. Is that like such a privileged thing to say? Do you ever feel like, oh, wow, that's so practical. Yes. Yes. For parents being practical.
I don't know if it's just class. I feel like our generation of parent or our ilk of parent, which is like very well educated, very picky.
Did you
OCD.
Say ilk?
Yes.
I-L-K?
Yes.
Ilk. Yes.
What does that mean?
Like our
cohort?
Yeah. Our category.
You must have been so good at the SAT.
What I was did. It? I got an 800. I only missed one question.
Wait, what was that thing when you compare the two words? Analogies?
Yeah. Oh, I is that blocked at analogies.
Damn.
I know. Anyway, I think the kind of very educated white collar parent who's like very high achieving and wants like the perfect thing. I think it's about control too, right? And I can admit it because I'm definitely like this, where I think there are some people like me who maybe it's not that we don't want gifts, but we only want gifts that we want for our kids. Does that make sense? So I think partly it's associated with socioeconomic class, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't read it as a class thing. I don't think we should make it a class thing. I think there's like,
I just feel like it appeared one day. This phrase just appeared one day. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I'm just going to put my nerd hat on and just say that actually the cost of material goods has fallen so much relative to other things, in the sense that toys, electronics, just little things, it's not that expensive relative to other things that people might buy. You know what I mean? I think just like cultural basis, like we don't need to put a label on whether that's
okay, fine,
a privileged thing or not thing. Even just looking at the material aspect of it, it's not really that correlated with class, like having a lot of stuff or not having a lot of stuff. There's just a lot of stuff everywhere now in America.
But I'm going to push back and say I do think it is a class thing, because I don't think it's actually about the stuff that makes it a class thing. I think it's about the need for control over the specific type of item. Don't kill me, people who listen. Why do I always say that? I think our generation grew up in the U.S., if you spent your childhood in the U.S., with like stuff like Fisher Price, right? Like these plastic animated these toys, right? And now I feel like among a lot of parents that I know of a certain educational background, it's all about like wood. It's all about like natural things. And they have a lot of these things. I don't think it's, I agree with you, and I don't think it's a quantity versus non-quantity thing. But then some people, like parents, in-laws, older relatives, like when they gift things, they like to gift the Fisher Price thing, the plastic thing, the brightly colored things. It doesn't go with Scandi decor, right? I'm sorry. It doesn't go with my Scandi decor, my minimalist decor. And that is associated to a certain extent, I do think, with a certain class of people. I don't mean classier. I just mean a certain, if we want to mean class to be like a certain genre of people, I'm going to put it out there. I'm like that. I don't want your Fisher Price gifts. I'm sorry. If you gave me Fisher Price gifts, I probably donated it or hid it somewhere.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't think I am in that ilk.
Yes, you are not of that ilk, but I am. And so many people I know are. But I'm just saying there's a lot of people like that. I think, Jeanette, I don't want to say you're the exception, but I do think a lot of people I know, there are variations that people will not cop to it.
I'm just not of that class. I don't have Scandi.
Well, I don't have Scandi either, but I like the wood, whatever stuff.
You have hella Scandi, girl. Please.
Wait, Jeanette?
No, Kate.
Me? That's Scandi? Are you serious? No, I'm not a minimalist. I'm like a maximalist, trying masquerading as a minimalist.
Go back in your kid's playroom, girl. Look at all the shades.
That's Montessori. It's like the wooden Montessori thing, which is not Scandi. Get it right. Scandi is different. It's IKEA, although I do source my things from IKEA.
I think the fact that you even have differences in this understanding.
Exactly.
Class,
I'm with
baby.
Susan. I'm just like, I don't even think about these words ever or classify them in my mind. What is what?
I was like, I found a giant kitchen play structure on the street, and then I opened up my trunk and I put it in my car.
This couch over here is, I think, from Craigslist. So it's that one. Yes. There's so many dimensions along which you can.
I'm going to put it out there, and I'm going to be very honest about it, just because I feel like I've asked myself a lot, and I feel like people aren't really willing to admit to this. So I think what happens is that this ilk of person, of which I am, but you two are not. And I do think that represents a lot of people out there. Okay. I'm just saying.
You are normal.
No, I'm not saying it's normal. I'm just saying there are a lot of us out there that may not be normal. We may be friggin' weirdos, but I'm just saying some of these people listen to our podcast. I know for a fact. So I'm going to put it out there and make people very uncomfortable. I think what's happening now is that this sort of like need for control and like need for the certain aesthetic for your kids' toys, it's being masqueraded under the intellectual mask of these educational approaches that are very trendy, like Montessori. And I say this because both my kids go to Montessori school. I think many people are initially attracted to Montessori because of the aesthetic, right? And if you've ever been inside a Montessori classroom or look at the materials, everything is very beautifully arranged. There's an emphasis on natural materials, on basically no electronics, no screens. And it's really beautiful. I don't think it's a crime or a bad thing to be attracted to Montessori because of these aesthetics. I think what I've realized, though, is that a lot of people stay on that surface where they like Montessori and they're like, oh, give me Montessori things because I really believe in Montessori. But what they're really saying is give me pretty things for my kids. Like, I don't want to take the Fisher Price, whatever, because they're ugly. Right, is what really they're saying, but they won't really say that. I'm putting it out there, people. I'm putting voice to what you're really thinking, but you're too afraid to say because you don't want people to hate you. I will take the hate for you. Thank you, everyone. But I think what really bothers me now that I've been of this ilk for 3.5 years is that people just stop at that, but they don't really go deeper. And for me, what I've really come to appreciate, and this is going to be a plug for Montessori, is that when I started digging deeper, I was like, oh, obviously it's very pretty and all of that, but there's a lot more to that. And I won't go into that here, but I guess what I'm saying is that I think a lot of the ilk of which I am becomes attracted to this thing because of how pretty it is. It fits nicely with their lives. But then they justify that with this sort of like intellectualization of, I only do these things because it's Montessori. And Montessori is like this special philosophy. I said it. I've been wanting to say that for a really long time. Hate me.
I don't hate you. I don't hate you.
I'm just saying other people out there.
I think both Susan and I are looking at your, this is like a internal war, like among this ilk of folks that we are not part of.
But I think they're...
No, I agree. I feel neither incensed or offended because...
Not of the ilk, yes.
Yeah, I'm just an external neutral observer.
I'm a little of both. I finally caved in with the Love Every Toys at some point. Like for a few episodes, I was like really stressed about it. And then finally, I was like, it takes away a responsibility for me of choosing age-specific toys that come to me, right? And so for Art's first and second birthday... People would be like, oh, it's his birthday. What does he want? I was like, just give me Love Every gift certificates. I'm just going to put it into this deposit bank and keep buying more of these specific toys. And there came a point where you open a box. He likes some of them and doesn't really care about it. And now is really into ghosts and monster trucks. That's just what he's into. So I was like, okay, we can definitely stop this. And I repurposed them, gave them to my sister-in-law. Felt good about that. And that's just what we're doing now. And we're just floating around. And if he gets some presents, cool. If he doesn't like them, which sometimes he doesn't, then I try to give them away or whatever. But yeah, your ilk, man. Kate, you should make like a hoarder show, but like Montessori parents show.
Oh, I have so much to say. This should be a sub show.
It should be a mockumentary, like best
yeah,
of show.
Yes. I would like a mockumentary and everybody will hate me. So I don't know. I have just a lot of thoughts about that.
I thought Montessori was really cool. It just was inconvenient for us.
Here's the thing. Last plug. Actually, Montessori is not about the materials per se. It's actually at the heart of it. It's allowing each child to develop at their own pace and respecting the personhood of the child. And to be honest, and I could go on this like many hours rant about this, I do not think most people understand that. When they think of Montessori, they only think of the materials, but that's actually not what it's about. And it took me a while to get there. But anywho, I think it's now gotten a bad reputation.
What? Because it's just become corrupted.
Yeah, it's become corrupted by, oh, here are the pretty things. But that's not really Montessori.
Get those posers out of there.
I know.
Just kidding. It's terrible. All right. Do you have anything else to talk about with regards to birthday parties? Oh, wait. We never talked about how much are we actually paying, planning, and working and putting work into this?
Who does it? Let's just raise your hand if you're the one who does it. In the family.
Okay.
Jake did book some of the venues. Yeah. I feel like that he does take on some of the labor for this.
I make Marvin pay for it. How about you, Kate?
Nerv is usually just on the ground security, basically.
Security?
I tell him, I'm like, your only job is just to watch the kids. I'm going to be very busy.
Is
like
he a bouncer?
Catering to our guests. Yeah. He's the bouncer. And then but sometimes I catch him in conversation with the other adults. I'm like, that's not your job. Your job is to watch the kids.
Literally
all he has to do. Literally. He has it so easy. But then he'll be like, you don't have to hold this party.
Anyway, Marvin's always, it's not a big deal. Why are we making it such a big deal? And I was like,
I think you should tell him that if you don't make anything a big deal, there's no big deals in your life. I think that's just one response is you get to pick and choose what the big deals are. So not everything has to be a big deal. But if you don't make anything a big deal, then what is the big deal in your life?
Word.
Ding, zing. To you, yeah. Marvin. It goes back to, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is this to you? It's like a scale. It's like a 2 to him in importance, birthday parties. And it's like an 8 or 9, maybe a 9 of importance to me. I'm going to execute it. So we kind of did a racy in our relationship where I'm like, okay, I'm responsible and accountable. You have been consulted and informed. That is it. That is your role. And then I'm just going to do it anyways. It's just, I hate it when I'm like really asking for his opinion and checking in when he doesn't care. You know what I mean? But I'm going to care so much. So that's why I'm like, okay, I got it. And then I just go off and do my own thing and just send him an invite of when the party is. That's what I do. I just can't. I can't live with the guilt of my kid not having fun.
Yeah, you bring the fun.
I bring the
fun. You're the fun parent.
I bring the fun. I zhuzh it up. Zhuzh it up and minimize work. Okay. All right, let's head into inside thoughts here. I had this inside thought the other day and I was wondering what you thought. Do you buy things on Amazon or Whole Foods Market? And do you feel guilty about it? Or is it like...
Why?
Because you're like, I just...
Oh, supporting like Big Bad.
Yeah. And like you could just go... Like when I go to more of the local grocery stores, like we are PCC members. It's a co-op and another one called Thriftway, where it's like when I go and I'm like, oh my God, the selection's so much better. The employees seem happier. Like, why am I going to the more convenient place down the street that has the lowest prices? Anyways, I'm just feeling turmoil around it. I'm starting to do book tour memoir promotion stuff. And so I met all these independent booksellers. Okay, this is where it came from. I met all these independent booksellers in California and the Pacific Northwest the last 2 weeks. And the way they talk about their lives, they're like social justice warriors. They're like bringing free information to people. Like they hand sell things. They get to know their clients. It's like a community center. And I was like, your work is so important. I felt bad directing people to Amazon because it's your shipping and billing information is already included there. It's so much easier for you to pre-order my book that way. But then I've met all these people and bookstores are really fun. I don't like sweet things. Bookstores are like my candy shop. It's like a really fun treat to go in. And so I've just been like reflecting on the ease of Amazon and feeling like, am I so slow to jump on the wagon of, no, we don't buy from Amazon? Or is it like, no, Susan, Amazon Prime has saved my life. Like when I first came home from the hospital and we didn't have any pumping supplies, Amazon Prime saved my life. It was also March 2020. But you know what I mean? As a parent, convenience is so important. And like driving around to a whole bunch of different stores is not what I want to do on a Saturday. Do you feel guilty too? Or am I like, what's going on? I need help. I know it's complicated. You don't want to seem evil, but
generally, I guess I don't have the same hangups. I think I want to support local businesses because I just like having them there, right? I like being able to have a coffee shop or a bookstore that I can walk to, that I can spend time physically in. So I think on balance, like when I can, I try to. But I think good intentions are important, but they are limited in effect. That's what I think. And I feel like that's me being realist, right? Which is, yes, maybe there is a place for some moral argument for trying to make the extra effort to go to your local grocery store and drive like three places and so that you don't have to buy from Amazon. But that's not really sustainable. I mean, it's never going to be where the bulk of the business is. I think that what is probably more sustainable is like business models need to innovate. So maybe your local retailer actually needs to charge more, or maybe even, God forbid, like charge you for being there because they actually provide a service that's different from Amazon. They provide like a physical space where people can hang out. They provide a space where people can come and touch and see your products. And there could be also intermediaries that make it easier, make it more competitive with Amazon, where if you're a local bookstore, maybe you also have an online presence where you could order online and there's local delivery or something like that, right? I think I'm just generally of the sense of I care about local retail being there because I like it being there. It adds to my life. But do I think we should rely on guilt or like morality to save those places? No, I don't. I just don't think that's realistic. I think that those places also need to think about ways that they're going to survive in this new environment. So I think I see it as maybe partly as a moral issue, but I assign morality to a smaller piece than you do, Susan, where I'm not like racked over it. I'm more thinking like, okay, well, like, how are these places actually going to survive, right? It's probably not going to be by relying on my guilt. That's not going to work. So yeah, I don't know. That's what I think.
I'm in the middle where I think it depends on the totality of your choices, right? I think looking at grocery shopping, which is arguably is a big part of many people's budgets and a big time sink for parents, I think you have to make the choices that make sense for your family while balancing. If you do have concerns about supporting local, my friend reminded me of this. I'll use this example. We went on vacation recently with a friend and there was like a kid's store there and we went in there, saw a couple cute things, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I need this now. And I went on Amazon. I was like, oh, it's cheaper on Amazon. So I went, I was telling my friend, I was like, oh, it's like cheaper on Amazon. She's like, yeah, I went and bought it in the store because I want to support a local business. But this is someone who also frequently shops at Whole Foods. And so I think that there are just different ways for people to show their support of different causes. And I do agree with Jeanette that I don't think you should feel guilty, Susan. It's that if it's important enough for you, you shouldn't feel guilty about it. You should say, this is the right decision for me, right? But maybe you feel guilty because it is actually more convenient for you as a mom and as a person who's responsible for some of these things to shop at Whole Foods or Amazon because it really does save you time. But then you feel guilty because you're like, oh, but maybe I should go to these other places even though they take more time or cost more because it's supporting something local.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think your time is valuable, but you just have to contextualize it in that if it is really important for you to support local, maybe you do certain things specifically that don't make a larger demand on your time that support local. Like, for example, I do shop actually at Whole Foods. I do shop on Amazon. But I also, like when I run local errands, I try to shop at the Met Market because I think they carry
great selection.
Very expensive, but also because they carry fruit from local orchards and they really are better than the fruit at like Costco, Amazon. But at one point I was shopping exclusively at Met Market and our accountant was like, why are you guys spending so much on groceries? And then I couldn't do it anymore. I had to go start shopping elsewhere. But anyway, my point is like in my way, and I sign up for like a fall CSA fruit thing because we love the fruit from that place. And yet I'm still shopping at Amazon. So I guess what I'm saying is that it doesn't have to be either or. You kind of make the choices that are right for your family, but I don't think you should feel guilty. If you're feeling guilty, there's a reason for it, right? And I'm pretty sure your reason is because you spend more money and lose your time when you shop local in this specific instance.
But yeah, it's just like little things where it's like, oh, should I have another toothbrush at my kid's school? But it has to be the toddler size that the kid fits. So then I could go to Bartell's, even though it's owned by CVS now. But then the parking is always crazy. And then the line to actually leave, it's like unbelievably nuts. And I'm sitting there and then maybe Art's with me and then he wants all the Cheetos. And I'm like, my God. Or I can get it in 2 days and it's in my garage. Sometimes I just feel like, I told you guys the other day, I felt like I was just like beyond melting. I was like oozing on the floor of just like exhausted, tired, feeling incompetent, feeling like, why is everything so hard right now? Part of it was just like maybe menses, moon cycle. But it was like also, I just couldn't anymore. I just couldn't. So I know what the easy button is, but then I didn't even order it because I was just too tired. Then I oozed some more. All right. Happy birthday, everybody. Hope you get your free drink at Starbucks and get the venti with the whipped cream with all the syrups.
All right. Bye, guys.
Don't invite us to your kids' birthday parties. It's another thing to do on the weekend. No. Bye.
We hope you found something helpful, reassuring, or interesting in this episode of Model Minority Moms. If you enjoyed the episode, please help us spread the word by texting a friend about our show or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want to connect with us, please visit our website at modelminoritymoms.com or follow us on Instagram, where we love receiving messages from our listeners.